You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hebrews 4. You know, we've been teaching on Hebrews. Seemed like a long time ago when I taught last, but we've been teaching on Hebrews and just following through and talking about Jesus and who He is and what He's done and so on and so forth. Didn't know if we would stay with it or not. Don't know if we will stay with this or not, but we are on it now. We may turn around and preach something else, minister on something else later, but right now the Holy Ghost has us on this. Hebrews 4, and just picking up where we left off, the whole third chapter talks about really the house of faith, the house that Jesus built, and He's more worthy than Moses, who was a steward in the house, a worker in the house, because Jesus is more worthy. He's more worthy because He built the house, and it's His house. Moses was faithful, no question. All that he did as a steward in the house of God. But Jesus is the one who built the house of God, and it is the house of Jesus that we're in today. And what kept people from receiving from God and entering into the promises of God, the whole third chapter talks about that, is their unbelief. They would not believe, and so they perished in the wilderness. He used the children of Israel in the wilderness as an example to make a point that we enter into God's house by faith. We enter into the things of God by faith. And we cease to enter into the things of God, and we stop ourselves from receiving from God when we don't believe, when we murmur. Everybody say murmur. Okay, when we complain and we moan, we groan and all those kinds of things. No. It's as we believe that we enter in. And this is Jesus' house. It's the house of faith. Are you with me? And then as that example is used, he applies it and comes over into Christianity to being saved. Now, we see there they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. Fourth chapter, first verse. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, in other words, all that they did receive, they still didn't get the best. The ones that did believe didn't enter into what we've entered into. There still is something remaining other than the promised land, the Canaan land. And Jesus provided that. See, since there is a promise remaining of entering into His rest, that's all well and good to have lived under the law in faith. If you had lived in faith, you would have experienced Canaan land, but there still remains a rest for the people of God, and Moses couldn't provide it. And later on, this chapter talks about Joshua himself couldn't do it. Only Jesus could do it. But make no mistake about it. The way you got into Canaan land, same way you're going to get into this promised land of eternal life. This promise that brings us into the real rest of God, that's more than just the Canaan land, more than just the promise of the Old Covenant, Old Testament that Moses talked about. This promise that remains of entering into the real rest of God requires faith also. Get the point? And that's the point that he's making. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. How would you come short of eternal life, short of the promise of eternal life, short of what Jesus provided? Well, you'd come short in your faith is where you'd come short. You'd come short by not believing what God said, not trusting what God said, giving up in the middle of the thing, saying, oh, it doesn't work, or saying it's not that easy, or you couldn't believe, I can't believe, you can't believe, no way, I don't think it's that simple. See, if you back up, then you miss the promise. Are you with me? If you back up in your faith, we're not talking about just backing up in morals, in morality, we're talking about backing up in your faith. Because the people that perished in the wilderness, they weren't any more immoral than anybody. But why they perished was their lack of faith, not their immorality. Are you with me? Now, I believe in holy living. You know that. And I preach that and teach that. That's just the point he's making here is a point of faith, that we believe in Jesus. I believe that affects our morality. I believe it affects us, and we will live more holy if we are saved and do believe in Jesus. We still can sin, obviously. Stay with me. But if you love Jesus, you're going to want to do right, and you're going to feel sorry for your sin. Come on. And we don't preach sloppy agape around here. The love of God is the love of God. We don't preach that just live any way you want to. God loves you as long as you believe in Jesus. No, come on. If you believe in Jesus, come on, live for Jesus. Are you with me? Now, you're not saved by your holy living. I understand that. But if you're a Christian, you won't live right. Just for the witness sake. Hello. Goodness gracious. I mean, I'm your pastor, you know. I mean, I could cuss and hello. Drink beer and Get a little higher, Wilson. You hear about this priest that just ran into this? You hear about this priest today that got drunk? A priest, a Catholic priest, got drunk and ran into some restaurant or store or something. You know, because they think it's okay to drink, you know.
Yeah.
And he just drank a little too much, didn't he? Hello. But what kind of witness is that? That's what I'm saying. Could I do that? Sure. But what kind of witness? Who would follow me? Are you with me? Well, take it back. Probably a lot of people follow me. This wouldn't be you if it's somebody else. But, I mean, what would we have? You know, we'd just all be partying all the time, you know. Come on. That's just ridiculous. I believe in Jesus. That's made a change in my life. I came out of that lifestyle. Are you kidding? I came out of all that. Well, I don't want to go back to that. Come on. I've been delivered, been set free. Now, I got delivered, though, not because I decided to be good one day or quit all that stuff. I was delivered because I believed in Jesus. And anybody can do that. You can do that if you've been in all that stuff. I was in all that, see? And I called on Jesus, and he changed my life. I didn't decide one day I'm going to clean myself up and serve God. No, no, no. I call on Jesus, and I'm telling you what, little by little, those things just start dropping off.
Right.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Well, actually, not little by little, all of a sudden. Fourth chapter, first verse. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it, short of the promise. For indeed the gospel, the good news, was preached to us as well as to them, those in the wilderness, the third chapter. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
That's good.
I mean, I don't have to add to that. It just means what it says. Why did they not benefit from the word they heard? They did not believe it. Why would you not benefit from words that you hear? Why would you not benefit from promises that you hear? Why would you not benefit from a message from God, from the Bible, reading the Bible, be in church and not benefit from it? How is that possible? Well, if you don't believe it, you don't benefit from it. If you don't mix faith in with it, if you don't say, yes, I believe. Well, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Well, if you stagger the promise, you won't receive it. Well, maybe somebody else, not me. Oh, no, 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 no. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't go there. Don't go there. Maybe somebody. No, 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 no. Well, I'm just not like everybody. Well, thank God you're not like everybody else. But God's no respecter of persons. And if he's made a promise, he'll do for you what he'll do for anybody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So don't buy that lie. For indeed the gospel, the good news, was preached to us as well as to them. See, he used them as an example. But what we have before us is something far greater and better than what they had offered to them. What they had offered to them was the Canaan land, promised land, wonderful place. What we have offered to us is eternal life. The one offering to them, anointed by God to do that, was Moses. The one who's bringing it to us is God himself and his son, Jesus Christ. And the way they got in was believing the words they heard from Moses. The way we're going to make it and have eternal life and receive this promise, this rest, is by believing the words of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, I can have a camp meeting on that verse, but I'm going to go on because I want to get the theme of this chapter here. Third verse. For we, everybody say we. Okay. We who have believed do enter that rest as he has said. Oh, hallelujah. We who have believed do enter that rest. Amen. This rest that they didn't quite experience. This rest, this promise that they didn't quite get.
Amen.
Even at best, they could get in the promised land, the land of Canaan, but they didn't have what we have because Jesus hadn't risen from the dead yet. So he's not saying we're waiting to receive this thing. He's saying we who have believed have entered into it. Hallelujah. We do have it. We who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swear my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Who didn't enter? Those that didn't believe. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, God's rest. Everybody say God's rest. It's interesting because he talks a lot about rest in this chapter. Rest there in the third verse. Rest twice, he says it in the third verse. Entering to rest. And then he says, fourth chapter, first verse, he said, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest. Everybody say rest.
Yes.
You want some rest? Well, God has a rest. He has a rest for the people of God. He has a place of rest, a place of peace. And you enter into it by believing. And as long as you're in doubt and unbelief, you'll never have rest in your life. You just have turmoil. See? But if you start believing all of a sudden, the anxiety leaves, the turmoil leaves. Oh, there may be things going around you, but it doesn't affect you. Are you with me? And those things begin to change too. But internally, you change because there's a rest that God wants us to enter into. I love that. So he says this, "For he has spoken in a certain place in the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works." God rested from all his work. Of course, he's talking about Genesis, where God made the heavens and the earth and finished them. Everybody say, finished them. He didn't leave them unfinished. There is some teaching going around that God didn't finish the solar system and the universe, and Adam was responsible for that, but the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible is very plain that God, it says, finished. And I just assume that when it says finished, he meant finished. I don't, you know, that's just the way I look at it. Of course, I'm from East Texas. I'm not real sharp, but it says God completed and finished his works, and that's when you rest. You don't rest till the job's done. And so God finished the job, and then he rested. Well, come on now. Come on, stay with me. And it says here, and he even reiterates it, but he's just quoting out of the Old Testament. That's in Genesis. You can go read it where it says he finished the works. Okay. And here it says he finished them. Y'all getting this? You know, I'm going to tie it all together. I'm going somewhere with this. God rested when he finished everything. See, and as far as God was concerned, it was finished. And, you know, Jesus sat down and took a break too. You know, he rested when he finished everything. In fact, he's sitting at the right hand of God right now. He's not doing anything else. All he's doing now is just interceding for the saints. But his work is done as far as eternal life is concerned. It's finished. And you know how you can enter a rest? When you decide it's finished, you can enter into rest. Now, as long as you don't think it's finished, you can't rest. Oh, a couple of you getting it. See, what you've got to learn to do is enter into the completed work, the finished work. And when you do that, and when you realize that, and you understand that, you'll rest. But as long as you don't think it's finished, and as long as you don't think it's completed, you're going to keep working. Okay, fourth verse. "For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest." Why did they not enter his rest? Well, for one thing, they kept working. They kept thinking they had to keep working. They kept thinking there's something else they needed to do. And they didn't accept the finished work. I mean, you don't sit down until the job's done, do you? And so if you don't think the job's done, you're not going to sit down. You're not going to rest. Sixth verse, "Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of unbelief, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." We need to listen up. The Spirit of God's trying to tell us something here. And in this case, he's telling me eternal life. He has provided for us eternal life in Christ Jesus, and he's completed and finished that work. And all we need to do is enter into it and cease from our own works. Isn't that what he goes on to say? Now, eighth verse says, "If Joshua," not Jesus, if you have a King James, you may say Jesus. It means Joshua. Jesus is a form of Joshua, incidentally. He's talking about Joshua of the Old Testament, not Jesus. "If Joshua had given them rest," Joshua led them into the Canaan land. But he didn't provide for them everything they needed, did he? Obviously, they didn't have eternal life. They couldn't be saved yet until Jesus rose from the dead. "If Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day." That day is the day we're living in. Hallelujah. That's the day, that's the rest we're in now. We have now entered into the finished work of what Jesus did and what he promised in the Old Testament. "Therefore, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God." Now he's talking to the Hebrews. The Jews, sticking with Judaism, will not be saved until they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's a strange doctrine being promoted in this day and age in circles. People you'd know by name. that God has two covenants, that God deals with the Jews and God deals with us. And the Jews are okay as long as they keep their covenant. We're okay if we keep our covenant. I'm telling you what, that's a lie. That is not what Scripture teaches. There's only one way to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's Paul that said in Romans 10, chapter 1st verse, he said, brethren, my heart's prayer and desire for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake to everyone who believeth. And it's in that wonderful chapter that he says in the 9th verse that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He's talking to us and he's talking to the Jews. The Jews cannot be saved unless they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you need to understand that. And that's what he's saying here to the Jews, that there remains a rest for the people of God. The Jews, the people of God, are not going to enter in this rest that Jesus offers unless they believe. It's no different than it was in the Old Testament, in the wilderness. They didn't go into Canaan land because they wouldn't believe. They're not going to go to heaven if they don't believe in Jesus. And we ought to believe in Jesus. I know we do. I mean, I'm talking to Christians here tonight. But what I'm saying is we ought to rest in it. Don't be fretful and worried about it, trying to work this thing up. Are you kidding? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I've entered into a completed work. I've entered into a finished work. Something that God did, not me. Hello. And there's a peace with that. And then I go and I pray and I ask God according to His promise certain things. You know what I ought to do is enter into that peace that it's a done deal and rest in it. Hello. This better preaching. Y'all already meant it. So he says here, 8th verse, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore rest for the people of God. He's not talking to us as Christians that there remains a rest. He's saying we who have believed have entered that rest. Notice the 3rd verse. We who have believed do enter into that rest. Hello? There is. Now you say we hadn't got to heaven yet. Well, yeah, but I'm going there because I've already entered into this rest. I've already believed on Jesus. Praise God. Woohoo! They didn't just call my name. I didn't just run down the aisle and go for a chance at winning. No, I've won. This is not Price is Right. Oh, no. I'm saved. I've entered into the rest of God. And so he says, if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest... Everybody say past tense. Has entered. See, so some people have entered it, evidently. He who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience or of unbelief. If we start trying to say we're good enough to be saved, well, obviously we're not saved. We can't be saved. We're still depending on our works. We're still working. Yeah. We're not resting. Amen? Now, I want to live holy, but not to be saved. I'm living holy because I am saved. Amen. And I want to be a witness, and I want to bring others to Jesus. But I know I'm saved by my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that, and I've entered into that rest, and I've got great rest in that. In fact, if it's up to me to keep myself saved, as it were, then stick the fork in, I'm done, and so are you. And you'll never be able to sleep another night the rest of your life if you really believe that. You'll have a lot of sleepless nights. But I know when I lay down at night that I believe in Jesus and that His blood covers me. Are you with me? And not just covers me, He washed all my sins away. And I've entered into a rest concerning this thing because I have believed. Now, there's a couple of things you see that are paramount here. It talks about works, ceasing from your works, and God finishing His work. And then he talks about rest. My goodness, rest. 10th, 11th verse, enter that rest. 10th verse, His rest. 9th verse, a rest. 8th verse, Joshua, if he had given them rest. I mean, it's just all through here, rest. And then ceasing from works. I want to just play off that a moment. Hold your place here because I want to finish this chapter. But notice John, the 6th chapter. Turn to John, chapter 6. This is good. This is basic salvation 101 out of Hebrews. Listen, we love Israel, we pray for Israel, we lift up Israel, and we love the Jews, and we pray for them, but we pray that they might be saved. We pray that they come to Jesus. And we need to support Israel as much as we can politically and as a country and all those kinds of things. But now the church as a whole, our support to Israel should be in sending evangelists to Israel and sending, supporting outreaches that lead them to the Lord, that help them find Jesus. That's spiritually what we do as Christians, as believers, as a church. That's our job. Our country, as a country, we should stand behind them as a country, because you don't want to mess with Israel. We know that. As Lester Sumrall said, Jerusalem was God's city. He said, Jerusalem is God's city. You have to get into Lester. You know, he's real bold. Jerusalem is a golden bowl of vipers, and every nation that stuck their hand in it has gotten bit. Jerusalem is God's city. And brother, you don't mess with God's city. He's right, too. I mean, all you got to do is look at history, and you can tell that. You know, and of course, only Lester could say it the way he says it, But he had a series, I loved it. It was called Jerusalem, Where Nations Die. That was the name of the series. And he just went through history and all the nations that had come against Israel, you know, and so on and so forth. So you understand when I say this about them not being saved. They can't be saved. There's no way they can be saved unless they accept Jesus the Messiah. They have to accept Jesus as Messiah to be saved. They cannot go to heaven any other way. If they have the greatest intentions and die in their faith, as they understand it, they still will not go to heaven, because there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no special place they go to. There's only two places you go to when you die. You go to hell, you go to heaven. That's it. There's no third spot. Hello. And there's only one covenant. There's not two, there's not three. There's just one, and it's this covenant. And Jesus did it. He ratified it. Hello. He sat down on the right hand of God to make this thing good. And it is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of Jewish faith or Judean Jews have turned their life over to Jesus and are doing so today. Thank God for it. And there's a lot of ministries reaching out to them. But let's do not play, you know, add to what the devil's doing. I'm trying to think of a nice word here. Let's do not get on the devil's side and send people to hell by telling them they're okay without Jesus. Are you with me? Now, I say that, I say, there are national ministries that say these kinds of things, and I think it is an abomination to God. What Jesus did, he did for everybody. He didn't do for a certain people, he did for everybody. Jesus died for the whole world, Jew and Gentile. He broke down the middle wall partition between the Jews and the Gentile, making us all one in Christ. And thank God for what he did. And what he did is enough for everybody. And there is no other way. There is no back door, side door. There's only one door, and Jesus is that door. And so don't be swayed when you hear things. I mean, you'll hear. I'm amazed at some people that are preaching that. And it just shocks me when I hear those kinds of things. Prominent ministers. They're saying God has two covenants. He does not have two covenants. He has one covenant. This is written to the Hebrews, and he told them they needed Jesus. Hello. Now, we love Israel and we love the Jews. Are you with me? Here's the work. John 6. You ready for this? John 6 chapter. Some people came up to Jesus and 28th verse. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Oh, here's a good one. We got it right now. We got the question right out there on the table. What can we do to work the works of God? Wouldn't you like to know? Jesus said in the next verse, he answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Wow, that's it. That's the work. That's it. That's all you can do. Sorry. There's nothing else. I mean, that's all. We're hiring people to believe in Jesus. If you can't do that, then you've got to find another job somewhere. Because that's our job.
Yes.
Hello. Are you with me? You don't want to do that? You've got to go somewhere else. Because that's all God's just hiring people to believe in Jesus. That's the only work he is hiring out. Now, if you think you qualify for that position, then come on, he'll take you. But if you don't qualify to believe in Jesus, well, you know, don't come, because God's only hiring people who can do this work. Man, that's strong, isn't it? Woohoo! That's good news. I can do that. All right, I can do that. Oh, that's good. That's wonderful. Man, I can believe on Jesus. I can believe on Him. Well, there it is. That's all I got to do then. That's the work I do, is to believe on Jesus. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians 2. Boy, there's a rest here. There is a rest here. Hallelujah. All I do is believe. When I hear the word, I mix faith in with it. And I enter in by believing. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, notice what it says here in the 8th verse. For by grace are you saved. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, your works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His work. Get it? We are His workmanship. In other words, me being saved is not my works. Me being saved is His works. Me being good enough to save is not what I did. Me being good enough to save is what He did to me. And I am not my work. I am His work. Man, I'm a piece of work. You ever heard that? I'm the work of God. Hallelujah. And you know, He rested when He finished it too. He's sitting down at the right hand of God right now. Why? Because He finished it. You getting it? It's the work's done. And it's not what work I did, it's work He did. All I do is enter into His rest or His work. And all I can do is believe. You know, this word is a real unique word. I've preached this before, but it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. 10th verse, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We do works, but we were created to do them, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're supposed to walk holy. But I am the work of God. My salvation is a work of God. My new birth is a work of God. My eternal life is a work of God. The word workmanship here is the Greek word poema. P-O-E-M-A. Poema, that's where we get the word poem from it. And we often refer to a person's work, like the works of Shakespeare. You know, what he's written are often called his works, his work, a poem. Actually, you and I are poetry in motion. Hello. I mean, we're real poetry. We're God's poetry. Hello. We're His work. We're what He has written. Paul even said this. He said, you are, he was talking about letters. He said, letters of commendation or letters of recommendation or resumes or so on and so forth. We would say resumes today. He said, do I need resumes? Do I need recommendations? Do I need commendations? He says, you are my commendations, written, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, known and read by all men. Isn't that awesome? So what he was saying was that the Holy Ghost wrote you. And you are read by all men. And the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, I am His work. I am like the works of Shakespeare. I'm the work of God. And you read Him in me. And you should read Him in you. Are you with me? And we are poetry. But we are not our works. We are His works. We have entered into a rest, is what we've done. We've entered into the stop working mode and into the believing mode. When I mean work, sure we work for the Lord. Sure we do things for God. We live holy and all those things. But see, as far as eternal life is concerned, I stopped that. I stopped trying that stuff when I got saved. I stopped trying to be good enough to go to heaven. I stopped trying, to pay the price. I couldn't pay the price. The price is paid. It was finished. It was done. It was already completed. I just accepted it. That's what I did. And I entered into rest when I called on Jesus. Ceased from my works. He that enters into His rest ceases from his own works, as the Bible says, over there in the 4th chapter. Turn over to Matthew 11, just to reiterate this point. Matthew 11, notice what it says here in the 28th verse. You'll know this verse. You'll recognize it right off the bat. Come unto me. What's he saying? He said, you're trying to do it, you can't do it. You've been trying all your life, you're not going to make it. You're not that good. You're never going to be that good. Well, what would I do? Come to me. That's what Jesus said. Come to me, all you who labor or still working and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, hallelujah. See how it all ties together now? I mean, the pieces start coming together, the puzzle starts making sense, and you're seeing a picture. That's what happens when you put more pieces to the puzzle, you start seeing the picture. The picture is always going to be Jesus. it always comes back to him, see? Because he's the one that did it. He's the one that finished it. He's the one that completed it. And what you need to do is just get to him. And that's what he's saying here. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Praise God. This is the rest for the people of God. This is the rest that was talked about in the old covenant. This is the rest that Jesus offers. It's only in him. You can't get it anywhere else. Amen. We got it.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. What are you working so hard for? Why don't you sit down and rest? You working up this, working up that, working up this. You ought to just rest in God. There's peace in Jesus. There's rest in Jesus. And we have it. May not be experiencing it, but we have it. We're supposed to. All we got to do is quit trying to work the thing and quit start believing. Come unto me, all ye who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for it's learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, the way of God, it gives you strength, makes you stronger. The way of the world, you get weaker, weaker, weaker. The longer you stay on the world's road, the weaker you get. The longer you stay on God's road, the stronger you get.
Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
Amen? They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Hallelujah. That's us. Why? Because we're in that rest. How do we get there? By believing. And you can always tell when you're not at rest, you're not in faith. I'm not giving you anything new here. You know, you ought to teach as if you taught them not and bring out things new as things forgot. You know, that's so, I think Alexander Pope said that. But anyway, you know these things. I know these things. All we do is when we hear it, we go, of course, that's right, sure, I can relate to that.
Yep.
Yeah, uh-huh, sure, I wasn't at rest. Why? Because I wasn't in faith, wasn't believing. Believing brings us into a rest. It brings us into a work, not ours, but his. And Jesus is calling us to come to him to enter that rest. And those who believe do enter into rest. Hallelujah. And if you're not at rest about something, well, you're probably not in faith about something. I don't want to say that in a condemning manner. I join a club. I've been there. I'm in it. I had to watch myself too. You know, I get frustrated about something or out of whack about something. And I'm not in faith. I'm not believing. And I'm trying to work at things instead of letting God work the thing. Now, there's things I need to do, sure, but I need to do them in faith. Hello, in peace.
Amen.
Hebrews 4, turn back there if you will. Those scriptures help you. Those little side notes just adding to the scripture reading already in Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 chapter. So he talks about that rest and he talks about that work. It's God's work, not ours. It's God's rest. And all we can do is enter it and believe. And then he goes on and says, the 11th verse, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience or unbelief. The example of the third chapter, which is talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. 12th verse, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive, hallelujah. It's true. You can stand on it, you can trust it, you can believe it. When God says something, you can count on it, you can take it to the bank. When God makes a statement, don't you put a question mark or God puts a period. Are you with me? Believe it. That's what he's saying. The word is alive. When God says something, it's true. He's compelling us and pulling us and calling us to believe and trust, see, because the word's real. And it is real. It's a living thing. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Well, that's a mouthful just right there. I mean, the word will decide for you what's God and what's not God. I have a lot of people say, well, I don't know if this is God. I don't know if this is God. Well, get in the word. The word will differentiate. It'll decide. It'll tell you what's you and what's God. Hello. I don't know if it's the Lord or not the Lord. Well, the Bible is the dividing line. It's the plumb line. It's the line that we measure everything off of. It's the standard, and it hasn't changed. And we know what's right by God's word. We know what's true by God's word. We know sometimes what's us as opposed to what's God by what God says. Sometimes you want something that's not scriptural. Well, you can write it down. If it's not scriptural, it's not God. Because the Word of God divides between soul and spirit. It makes those decisions. And there is no creature hidden from His sight. This is why we need to come to Jesus, as He said in Matthew 11. Because there's a lot of things that we hadn't brought to light in our lives, and we need to bring it to light. We need to come to Jesus. We need to come to the Word and get those things squared away and taken care of in our lives. A lot of things you hadn't addressed and I hadn't addressed. You don't want to address them, and I don't want to address them, so we don't come to church. We just don't get in our Bible. We don't want to serve God, because as soon as we do, we're going to get in the light. Right? And when the light comes on, boy, everything is seen. Well, you keep coming to the light, amen?
Amen.
Keep coming, because you need those things honed off, those edges, those rough edges, and hallelujah. Because it's just keeping you from resting. Amen? You know, we get guys are bad about not going to the doctor. You know, things are going wrong, they won't go to the doctor. And all the doctor's going to do is fix them, hopefully. But then he's going to tell them to quit this and quit that, do this and do that, and we don't want to do that. We'll put up with a toothache because we don't want to go down to the dentist. Dentists, they're not going to be settled. They're not going to settle for a toothache, fixing that toothache. It's going to start knocking around inside there and say, oh, you need this fix and that fix. Forget it. I'm not going down. There's too much he wants to do. And that's the way we look at God. There's too many things he wants to fix in our lives. Ah, quit preaching. Got to meddling now, didn't I? Yeah, we don't want to come because there's just way too many things he wants to fix. If we could just get this one thing handled, I'd love it. But you know, I don't want to go to God because he won't stop there. No, he won't. He wants to make you the best you can be. He always does, doesn't he? He won't leave you alone. He's determined to make your life wonderful, and you don't want it wonderful. He wants to make you a blessing, and you don't want to be a blessing. Hello. We just want this one thing fixed. So if you could, Lord, just send me an email, you know. No. Come on. You come to Jesus. Hello. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, 13th verse, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. Amen. Seeing then, y'all have seen some things tonight, haven't you? Okay. From what we've read, you see some things? Okay. Seeing then, we have a great high priest. Oh my. Just to sum it up, it's what he's saying here in all this, seeing all this, that we have this great high priest, Jesus, that has done all this that he's done for us. Seeing then we have this great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Don't you back up. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. You stand up and you speak up.
Amen.
And you hold on. Confession here is just the word homologio. Homo is same. It's the same. And logio is to speak. So when he says put them together, compound word, homologio, he's saying say the same thing. Let us hold fast our saying the same thing that he says. That's what he's saying. When he says confess the word, say the same thing the word says.
Amen.
You need to confess the promises. That means you need to say the same thing the promise says. Y'all getting it?
Amen.
Say the same thing. Hold fast saying the same thing. Don't be deterred from saying the same thing God says. Don't get away from saying the same thing God says. Don't start saying something God doesn't say. Hello? Hold fast now. Stay on track here. We're going to the promised land. Amen. Are you with me? Don't you quit. No. Don't you stop now. You hang in here. You hold fast. See, we have this great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confessing the same things that he said. Woo.
Amen.
For we do not have... 15th verse, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We have someone who did it. We have someone who lived that perfect life. We have someone who never sinned. Jesus, our high priest. We have someone who paid the price and footed the bill, hello, and picked up our ticket. Jesus, the Son of God.
Yeah.
And you can rest in that. Your meal's paid for. Don't have to go back by the counter. Don't have to pull out your credit card, checkbook, your wallet. No, no. It's just rest. Just rest. Amen?
Amen?
And you know what you need to do if anybody asks you about it? You need to say the same thing. He paid for it. Well, I don't know. Maybe he did. No, he paid for it. He paid for it. And that's true in any prayer that we pray when you think about it. Hold fast your confession. You're saying the same thing. So he says, for we do not have... I'm coming to a close here. Y'all with me? Good. I got you with me. You came with me all the way. 15th verse. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Don't come timid. Don't come. Now, sure, we stand in awe of God and we reverence God, but we come confidently. We come knowing He'll hear us. We come knowing He's done it for us, knowing the way's been opened and heaven's open. Hallelujah. And we can come right into the throne room. The veil has been rent from the top to the bottom. The way's been made open by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I can enter in. I don't have to shake and quiver at the devil. I don't have to shake and quiver at circumstances. I don't have to shake and quiver at my background or my past. Oh, no, 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 no. I can go right on in there. Hallelujah. Jesus paid the price.
Amen.
He paid the price.
Yes.
So he says, let us therefore come boldly, or bold speaking, to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. God wants to help you. He really does. And He wants to shower you with His mercy and His grace. But you've got to come through Jesus. And you need to come confidently and come boldly. Not in yourself, but in Him. Confident in what He's done. Because Jesus has done it all. And you need to enter into His rest. Isn't that good?
Yes.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to enter into the rest of God boldly. I'm not going to be afraid of a lion or a bear. I'm not going to be afraid of the Philistines. I'm not going to be afraid of the giants or the walled cities. And I don't care whether I look like a grasshopper to them or not. I'm a child of the living God. It doesn't matter what I look like to anybody. What matters is what I look like to God and to me. And I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Old things pass away. All things come new. Praise the Lord. Well, rest and work. There the Bible talks about both of them. And the work is to believe. And the rest is just receive.
Right.